My name is Jenny Albaugh. I live in Wonderland, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. As we begin our Bible numeric study titled, The Number 9 in Scripture. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or send them by U.S. Postal, including any check or money order contributions you wish to submit to support this ministry, by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com. On your desktop, use the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen. And if you're using the mobile site, use the drop-down menu, again, at bbfohio.com. We now begin our study. It's a Bible numeric study titled, The Number 9 in Scripture. This is part 1 of 2.
Lord, we're going to change it. October 1st, as of October 1st, we had 785 donated Bibles. As of today, 815. Woo-hoo! Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. So we got news, I think last week, about something like 70,000 Bibles going down to Peru, I think it was. Great stuff, man. I mean, and these are people who've never owned a Bible. Great ministry. By the way, it's called Bibles for South America. I don't have the website there. I need to get the website handy, but if you Google or DuckDuckGo, Bibles for South America, an extension of Victory Baptist Press, that's who we're supporting. All right, so we're in the number 9 in Scripture, our Bible numerics series. The number 9. And we start this after our current events update. And I just want to mention the current events update itself. What's the purpose of having a current event update? It's not just about news. These are about being informed. In other words, I'm not up here trying to be the news media, but Christians need to be informed. Hosea 4:6 starts with the words, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And you can see that in the Christian churches today, among a lot of Christians. It's amazing the lack of knowledge that you find in a lot of Christians when it comes to the Bible and when it comes to current events. And real pastors are supposed to be shepherds and not hirelings. And we've read this before, but I want you to turn with me real quick to the book of John chapter 10. And this and the next passage are just two of many that explain why we have current events updates. And I'm giving this explanation of our current events updates because we've been asked a number of times. So I want to answer the question. And John chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, Jesus is speaking and says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." And that's describing too many preachers today. Read verse 13 with me. "The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." So a pastor is supposed to, the word pastor is a shepherd. And as we are each in the local church, the shepherd serving as an under shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd, or what he's called, he calls himself there in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." As a pastor, I'm not here to give my life for you in the sense that Jesus did. Jesus died, shed his blood, and has paid for your sins. I didn't. And I'm not here to do that. But I do give my life to this ministry. And that's why a lot of men quit the ministry, because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time if they teach. Now, I know a lot of preachers who wake up Sunday morning and open their Bible and preach the verse that their eyes land on, you know. And that's why you get the same thing week after week. But those who are really teaching the Bible and preparing, and then they pray and they visit. We visit people who are shut in, nursing home, hospitals. You do funerals, you do weddings and all that stuff. But then it just, a lot of times you're just talking with people. Just not even formal counseling, but just a personal relationship with those people. And part of that is to warn you about what's out there. And I know people go week after week to church, and some of them watch our studies because they're starving to death in their local church. And they will tell us, those current events updates are great. Our pastor never talks about those things. And that's why we do. We do it for you here. We do it because we know there are a lot of people out there who need that kind of instruction because they're not getting it in their church. And we're supposed to be Pauline. A lot of people like to brag about being a Pauline ministry. That just means that we follow Paul as he followed Christ. The epistles from Romans to Hebrews, Paul's epistles, are the core of our New Testament belief system, our doctrine, our statement of faith. And Pauline ministry includes current event updates, warning the flock. Look over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And as you read from Romans through Hebrews, look at how many times Paul brings up what's going on in the current events of their day. And he confronts that and he warns people. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 31 says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now read verses 30 and 31 with me. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." He was dealing with current events. He was dealing with the fact that he knew that once he left, there were going to be these people come in and try to pull them away. Folks, you may not realize it or not, but most of what you see in on the news, most of what your kids get in the schools, most of what you get in movies, most of what you get in music, most of what you get in books, these people putting that stuff out there are trying to influence you. And a lot of them want you to follow them. That's why Facebook and Twitter's got its good side and bad side. MeWe is what we're on, social media right now. We've given up Facebook and Twitter, but a lot of people are still on there. They want what?
Money.
Followers.
Yeah. That's right. That is funny. That's really funny.
And what did it just say? They want to, they're speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. That's after them. That's a follower. And that's what it's all about. They want you to follow them. They believe what they believe and they have a strong conviction about it. And they want to draw you in. And most of it that we deal with has to do with the fact that they want to draw you into the new world order. They want you to buy into the world peace thing and to buy into ecumenicalism and to follow them right into the hands of Antichrist if you're not saved and you miss the rapture. And as a Christian, you don't want to be raptured, caught up in that. As a Christian, we should want to be aware of what's going on and not caught up in the rapture, shocked when we go up. So, just real quick, current event summary. Today is what? November the 6th, 2019. Epstein did not kill himself. Eric Sierra Mella is the whistleblower.
That's right.
Yeah. This little game you're seeing on the news media. Oh, don't say his name. Oh, I'll say his name. First Amendment, get over it. The whistleblowers are not given anonymity unless they're Democrats. That's the only time. Climate change is a hoax. Chemtrails are real. Not all vaccines are safe. New versions are Vatican versions. Donald Trump is your president. There's your current events summary. Oh, you want a picture? Wait a minute. What happened there? What happened to number one? It disappeared. Let's try it again. There we go. There's a conspiracy to keep Epstein off of there. How many of you have seen that ABC reporter who had the story 3 years ago and she describes how they killed the story? You've seen that? Look it up. Amy Rohrbach, ABC News. Look it up. Veritas Project has the video and they say there's more coming, by the way. But we need to get in the book. Amen. That's enough current events. We want to learn this book because that's what the big problem is. People don't learn the book. And we're looking at the number 9 in Scripture. We've already seen that number 1 means unity. Number 2 is division. Number 3 is order. Number 4 is witness. Number 5, death. Number 6, man. Number 7, completion or perfection, whichever you prefer. And number 8 is something new. And number 9 is what we're going to get into today. And no, I am not going to play Revolution number 9. That doesn't really have anything to do with anything. But it's interesting if you look it up online. It's backward masking and all that stuff. Anyway, as most members, you can see my vision issue. Most numbers in the Bible, there is a pattern and clear examples. We've seen that over and over. You convinced of that so far? You've seen the pattern and clear examples. Well, we start with in most of our studies with the first mention of 9. And the first mention of 9 is that in the book of Genesis, the first 12 times it is referring to age and what we call fruit of the loins. Fruit of the loins. Look over at Genesis 5. Let's start there. Genesis 5. And I'll tell you, as you turn there, one of the things about studying Bible numerics is when you get familiar with these things, it just helps you understand the Bible. There are times where you'll be reading something, you might not have really gotten it, and then you see the number and you think, oh, that's a number of, and it'll help open up the passage that you're looking at. In Genesis 5:5, read that with me. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. So there's 900 referred to there. Look at verse 8. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Look at verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. But look what it says after that. In verse 5, it says he lived 930 years, and I mean the verse before that. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Then it says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. So the nines were about their full age, and in those years, 930 years, is when they bore fruit. And they were having children. And then you multiply these references times 4, and it's about long life, I'm meaning these three references. You multiply those times 4, and there's like 12. 12 references, the first 12 mentions of the number 9 is related to men who lived long, fruitful lives. And that's following what we call the law of first mention, is where you get the big hint about how a number works. Now, what do we call that when they have a lot of kids? Genesis 30, verse 2, Rachel was coming after Jacob. Some of you might have read this recently. If not, you start reading the Bible again on January 1, you'll read this real soon. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the what?
The fruit of the womb."
Fruit of the womb. Not fruit of the loom. Fruit of the womb. And so these guys lived 900 and some years, long, fruitful lives. They bore fruit. They had children. And when Mary was with child, remember that? Elizabeth said this to Mary. Some of you were with us. We were studying in Luke 1, verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." So these men living 900 some years had these begat sons and daughters, and that is the fruit of the womb. Now, how long is the gestation period for women bearing fruit in the womb if they go close, at least close to full term?
9 months.
9 months. So you have the whole connection, a long life. Now, in our day, I've lived a long life, 50 years, and have sons, and Jenny had sons, and I had daughters, and together we have sons and daughters. And compared to most people, we have, you know, five combined, and that we bore some fruit, and we have a fruit right here in front of me right now. Yeah, that's a good one. Charlie's a manly man. He's anything but a fruit, I'll tell you that.
I'm wearing Crocs right now. So.
But I still say the beard. So, that's a Croc. Anyway, look at Abraham's age and God's promise to him in Genesis 17. If you're in Genesis 5, just turn a few pages. Genesis 17... And look, it says in verse 1, and when Abram was what?
90 years old and nine.
So that is 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Look at verse 5. 99-year-old Abram. God says, "Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." Read verse 6. "And I will make thee exceeding..."
Fruitful.
What?
Fruitful.
Fruitful. At the age of what?
99.
99. Fruitful. "And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." So he's 99. Abraham in Genesis 17 is 99 and fruitful. Why? Because God speaks of those things that are not as though they are. We studied it Sunday in our Romans 4 study. Now, over and over, 9 is connected with being fruitful. Over and over. The number 9 and fruitful. Look at Genesis 9:9. Go back a few pages. Genesis 9:9. Everybody there? Hold on. I'm going to give Janie a second. She was making notes. I try to give people time to... you better not be writing love letters back there. You're taking notes, right? That's what I was going to... That was my second question. All right. Genesis 9:9. Read it with me. "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." And the seed is what? Fruit. Genesis what?
9:9.
Yes, I see that hand.
I just had a weird fact. There's 9 in this today.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I am. Thank you. Now, some of you probably have been thinking, itching to say this, and I appreciate you holding back. But the fruit of the Spirit, how many of you know it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit?
Right.
Unless you have a new version, then it might. But let's add them up. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is right before Ephesians. 5:22 and 23. Y'all there? I'll give you a second. Galatians 5, beginning verse 22. Read it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, went backwards. The fruit of the Spirit is ninefold. Ninefold. Fruit. Nine. So let's chart that. Fruit of the Spirit. Number one, love. Two, joy. Three, peace. Four, long-suffering. Five, gentleness. Six, goodness. Seven, faith. Eight, meekness. Nine, temperance. So there again is one big point of evidence that fruit of the Spirit being nine, nine is related to fruitfulness. I'll give you a second because I know some of you are making notes or taking pictures or whatever. I try to be considerate. Nine. Unless you're German, then you're saying no. Nine.
What's the German word for nine? Is that what you would say?
That's a good question.
It's nine.
Huh?
It's pretty much sounds the same as English. Nine.
Oh, the German number is? Oh, that's interesting.
I took German for a short time.
Did you?
So how do they say it differently? Like, that's what you're saying. We didn't say nine and no.
It's probably like a lot of English words. You know, we say the same word, but it... What?
It's called a cognate.
Cognates. All right. Question. Can it get any more clear than that? That's a question. My answer is no. I think it's pretty clear. Nine is fruitful. But there's also the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go over and add those up if you want to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning verse 7. And we'll read through verse 11. And we'll see the gifts of the Spirit. And verse 7 begins by saying, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And in verse 8 it says, for to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The gifts of the Spirit add up to nine. Let's chart that. Gifts of the Spirit. One was word of wisdom. Two, the word of knowledge. Three, faith. Four, healing. Five, miracles. Six, prophecy. Seven, discernment. Eight, tongues. Nine, interpretation. Now, can you bear fruit apart from the Spirit of God? No. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. And we have Jesus in us in the sense that we have his Spirit in us. And it is only by the Spirit of Christ in us that we can bear fruit. And that fruit appears, the fruit of the Spirit appears in nine different characteristics. And then the gifts of the Spirit, possible, are nine in which you bear fruit. Now, we don't have time to get into a long thing about tongues and interpretation, but I've got to say something because, and miracles and healing is here in this text. And there's a lot of questions come up because people will come to us and say, well, I don't see people being healed in your church services, or I don't see people or hear people speaking in tongues and interpretations given and everything like that. Well, the answer to that is God is the one who gives it. And when it really is of God, it doesn't come because a preacher talks you into doing something.
That's right.
So, number one, if it's of God, it happens just like it did on the day of Pentecost. And that is, Peter didn't get up and preach about tongues, and then everybody started speaking in tongues. Peter got up and preached about Jesus. And he preached to the Jews, confronting them with the fact they'd killed the Messiah. But the Messiah had risen from the dead. And in the midst of all that, God then poured out his Spirit and they spake. And it's interesting, go back here and look, Acts. We're going to talk about it, might as well look at it. Acts chapter 2. Whoops. And let's go to let's see, where's the best place to look there? Right there at the beginning, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. For the sake of time, cut right to the chase. Acts 2, 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the key right there. It's not, they weren't urging people, egging people on to do this. They didn't even mention it. No one mentioned tongues. And all of a sudden, the Spirit gave them utterance, and it describes that in verse 5 there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now look at verse 6. Read that with me. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. See, it was the people heard them speak, and it was a real language. So another thing that I believe, I get in trouble because I believe if God wants you to speak in tongues, then he'll make you speak in tongues. If you're a Spirit-filled Christian and there's a need, there's no need for us to start speaking in tongues. We're all English here. And in most of the charismatic Pentecostal church services where people act like they're speaking, and they are.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.